This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Gotta be true to yourself. In a world, there's nothing else. Gotta play the game right, gotta make your path. You scratch, you dig, you laying your ground. You busting your rounds, nobody gonna stop you. No ops, no cops, everything about you. Looking good, you good, she good. Y'all people really wanna know the reason.
What's that?
It's just that ripple effect. That karma come back quick. Do somebody wrong, you get sick. I just inspire kids. Because of that, maybe I get rich. Gotta see the future, be smarter than a rooster. No hookah, you focus. No drinking, no smoking, no tokens, no handouts. Everybody in the world, get your plans out. Let's do it, let's go, let's get our minds ready. We elevate intellects right here on the K-Dot Show. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back triple.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is, and you already know the vibes. Man, that intro just gets me so hyped. Anyway, make sure you like, listen, and subscribe. Listen, if you haven't done so already, I don't even know what you're doing at this point. But shout out to all the new support, all the new fans. Appreciate y'all 100%. I want y'all to start getting more interactive, though. Let me know. I like to debate people. I'm always, as you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, I don't necessarily agree with everybody else is saying. I'm kind of one of those who kind of got to fend for myself, defend myself in that respect. I'm always on the other side of things. That's just, I see it the way I see it. I don't even know what else to tell you. But I'm loving all the new support. I appreciate you guys 100%. But sports, man, it's crazy. We could talk about the perfect storm that I like to call it, right? Which was last night. We'll get into that. I love the debates and stuff on Facebook. So shout out to everybody who got at me. Also shout out to the people who thought my Giants pick wasn't going to measure up to anything. You know I was almost lucky for being as right as I was, right? Because it definitely came down to not only the Titans missing a field goal, you know, Saquon doing his thing to the point where avoiding that tackle. And there was so much questions about his running game. That's why I told you I watched the pivot, right? Because he's being interviewed and just the way he's speaking, like, it just sounds like he coming back with a different type of fire, a different type of energy. Dable getting at Daniel Jones. That's right. Letting him know, like, listen, we hold ourselves accountable here. Like, that's it. Like, you playing on your fifth year option, dude. Like, you already know what it is. Like, you know, Sterling Shepard, I'm glad to see him healthy, going for that long touchdown. It was like 53 yards. Good. I'm glad to see you back, Shep. Like, let them know. Let them know what's up. Let them know who you are. I see you, brother. So, yeah, I'm really happy about that. We can also go to the other side of things and kind of see, because everybody thought for sure we was going to lose that game. You know, we weren't playing at home. You know, that's why I got on the Giants jersey. Yeah, you know, sometimes you just got to let them know. You know, I just feel like I didn't want to be on the other side of things once they turned the table. And I've always even said that about the Knicks. And that's another conversation for another day. So we're not going to get into that right now. But what we will get into is the game of the year already. I know, it's only week one. But the Steelers and the Bengals, man. I mean, I also like that Bills and Rams game, but we already talked about that. I already told you what my pick was going in and how I really like the Bills. But right now, I just want to talk about the Steelers and the Bengals. I mean, there was so much to unpack in that game, but we're going to attempt to do a little bit right now. So you have Joe Burrow, right? His offensive line still needs work, right? What was he sacked? 6 times? We already said that he was the most sacked quarterback last season, right? And that was something that they need to clean up because Joe Burrow had surgery in the offseason. Now, mind you, not football related, you know, appendectomy, routine, happens, fairly common, cool. Still surgery, though. It's another surgery. You know, he comes back and he's on the ground more times than anything, mainly in the first half. You know, and not only that, he threw those 5 interceptions, right? It is so hard to even, it's hard to win, right? Under those circumstances, understanding that your quarterback got sacked 6 times, and then on top of that, 5 interceptions. That shouldn't even be a game. So the fact that they still, like, you can tell that they're still young, they're hungry, they have something to prove. I'm glad that they don't get too down on themselves when they make those mental mistakes, or they make those mistakes that, you know, definitely are very costly. But they still kept themselves in the game. And you got to be able to appreciate them. Because I just saw that game. Definitely, I was watching it through a different lens, because I'm definitely one of those who were saying, listen, Cincinnati, they were sensational last year. What they did is unbelievable. They definitely caught everybody off guard, made it all the way to the Super Bowl. I mean, unbelievable. And some people would say if it wasn't for a play or two, maybe they'd be the champions, you know. But at the same time, when you have film, right, because guys are studying. And when guys are not studying and they're in their offseason, coaches are studying. They're studying. They're getting a game plan together. They're coming for you. It is not going to be the same. You're not sneaking up on anybody second time around. Not happening. And I think we're going to see more of that week to week. I don't see them getting back to the Super Bowl. And that's no knock on Burrow, Chase, Mixon, Tyler Boyd, all them boys. Like, I mean, the way they play, man, trust me, I love their heart. Ja'Marr Chase, I was pretty much rooting for him the whole time because he's a playmaker. You already know when you put the ball in his hands, he's going to make plays. And I couldn't tell you time and time again how they even took one away. But, yeah, his foot was, like, a little bit out. But a dude is a freak athlete. That's what he's there for. That's what eventually he will be getting paid to do. He's a playmaker. He's going to ball out. You already know what you're getting from him. But at the same time, when you talk about the protection and you talk about trying to minimize those interceptions, and if he's protected, that kind of goes hand in hand. You know what I mean? But the Steelers, man, I know there was a back and forth with Kenny Pickett or with Mitch Trubisky, who should start. And Tom was keeping that, you know, to the chest, man. He was not playing around. He was just like, you guys will know when I want y'all to know, pretty much, right? I thought that was a smart decision, and that's not because they won a tight game against the Bengals. It was just simple. Mitch Trubisky, if you look at the throws that he had to make to keep them not only in the game, but to eventually get the yards in order for them to win that game. And let's not even talk about the kicking in that game. Even Money Mac, man, missing that. I mean, and Boswell, right? I mean, the kicking has been horrendous, needless to say. And I'm assuming that's why the Indianapolis Colts got rid of their kicker today. Yeah, so they're gone. But the throws that Mitch Trubisky had to make, it was incredible. Mitch Trubisky definitely elevated his game. I think Tom's setting it up in a way where he wasn't going to name his QB1. And I think that was mainly because he wanted to see that competitive edge. He wanted to see Mitch take it up to another notch, because he's already seen what he can do when he was with the Bears and he was in playoff situations. You know, I never thought he was a bad quarterback. You know, I think he definitely got a lot of crap thrown in his way. I think under the right system, and a lot of people don't understand that. Sometimes you really are a product of your environment. And if you're in a place where people don't necessarily believe in you, or if you're not in a system that is tailored to your strengths, you understand what I'm saying? That can hopefully minimize your weaknesses, because that's really what it's all about. Then, you know what I mean? Then you're obviously going to, you know, what are you going to do? It is what it is. So, in that respect, when you saw how poised Mitch Trubisky was, he didn't look rattled at all. You know, he just made the throws that needed to be made in tight, throwing guys open. very timely. It was a rhythm to it, you know, a cadence. If you guys are, you know, into that sort of thing like I am, like, it was beautiful. And it was like, that's coaching. And we could talk about bad coaching in a minute, because we're going to get at, you know, Hackett, you know, from last night, the perfect storm, I like to call it. But don't worry, we're going to get there. Just stay with me for right now. Because these games on Sunday, I don't want you to miss out on anything. It was just that good. We've already talked about the Giants. I'm just so proud of them. I don't mean to, like, harp on it, but you have to understand that nobody picked the Giants besides Giants fans, right? I've even spoken to some Giants fans that didn't have any faith, and they even said they were going to lose, especially since they were playing, you know, away. It's just no way. They're playing in Tennessee. Derrick Henry, you know, blah, blah, blah. You already know how it is. So, shout out to the G-Men. Appreciate it. Giants Nation, stand up. At least for week one. You may have to sit down, you know, for the rest of the year. But, I'm just messing around. But, on the other hand, it's like, at the end of the day, Saquon's healthy. Sterling Shepard's healthy. Danny Dimes is getting coached up. I like the way our defense played. I still can't believe they missed that field goal. I mean, the Titans, you know, they if they hit that field goal, it's game over. We're definitely having a totally different conversation. I'm wearing a different shirt. Like, it's like a whole thing. You know what I mean? So, but to get back into the other games, Jets fans, listen, don't get so down on yourself. I get it. It was Lamar Jackson. I don't think we really need to say anything else. You know he didn't get the deal done. There's multiple reports about him turning down a contract that's $290, you know, over like 5 or 6 years, but it was like guaranteed $165. And I know everybody keeps harping on. I like how, depending on the news outlet, depending on if they agree or disagree with Lamar, I love the bias, right? I love the 290 like highlighted, right? And then you really got to read. It's not like, you know, in the at the top of the article, right? It's definitely not in the title, you know. It's not a headline. It's not bold, you know. It's somewhere in there, and it's like, oh, okay, 165 guaranteed. And if you remember correctly, that was Lamar Jackson's beef, right? I mean, if we're following the reports, because do we know really? No, he's quiet about it. He doesn't have an agent, as we know, so there's nobody that's really going to be talking about it, because, you know, agents, they'll let you know, like, listen, this is what we want. We're not able to get it. This is what we're doing. But he doesn't have that, and we spoke about that at length in the last podcast. If you want to hear about it, check it out. So we have no idea, but from what we're going with, I can only talk about the market and use logic and just kind of make sense out of it, right? Now, it makes sense that he feels that he should be making more, you know, or something very comparable to what Deshaun Watson just had got. You understand what I'm saying? So Deshaun Watson got $230 guaranteed. You know, I don't want to go Charles Barkley on you and keep saying that. But I'm just letting you know, like, that's the argument. Like, that's where it's at. It's not the big number with all these, a bunch of incentives that, you know, that may be so astronomical that it may not even get to nowhere near that number, because we don't know what it is. Like, maybe if you win the Super Bowl, you'll get a, you know, $50 million more. I don't know. But the point is, he wanted that $230 or better, guaranteed. He didn't get it. Playing without the contract, it's not even about the Jets at that point. Understand, when you're playing Lamar Jackson, I don't even think it's about you at that point. You're going to watch film. You're going to say, man, how do we beat him? But if Lamar Jackson has taken it to that next level, you're going to have to beat him some other way. Your defense is going to have to step up. Lamar Jackson is playing to make a point. And when a guy like that is playing to make a point, you already seen what he was able to do when coaches didn't think he was a quarterback. Coaches didn't think he was worthy of being drafted in a respectable position that we don't even. He's hungry. He's letting you guys know why he's worth the money that he is asking for. He's not begging for it. He's no longer negotiating. He's putting it off because he's putting his team first. Salute to you, Lamar Jackson. Because honestly, that doesn't get... Because what gets missed in that whole conversation is most guys, right, hold out. I'm about my money. Yeah, I like the team. I like being around the guys. Because you know that's the first thing they say when they step away from the game, right, is... What do you miss the most? When they, that's like the most asked question, you know, once a guy steps away, once they had the career that they wanted to have, hopefully, and they were able to do it their way and stepped away from the game, the most thing that they say they miss is the guys in that locker room, right? The camaraderie, you know, sure, the fans, whatever, but for the most part, it's the guys in that locker room and who you're really playing for, right? Well, here's the thing. It's all fun and games until it's about money, right? And then when it's about money, then everybody's like, oh, I'm about my money. Like, when you pay me, I'll come in the locker room. I'll be that team guy. I'll do X, Y, and Z. But until then, we good. But Lamar Jackson is different. He wants his money, but not at the expense of letting his teammates down. Why doesn't that get talked about? Why isn't that on headlines everywhere? Why can't kids see that? There's so many kids out here worrying about their brand, right? Protecting themselves, low management. I don't want to get injured. I don't want to get injured on every level, even the professional level. I don't want to get injured. I want to have a long career. I want to do this and I want to do that, right? Self-preserving. At what cost? One might ask, right? My thing is, you put in the time. You put in the work, you do everything that's necessary to keep yourself available, because the best availability is the availability. That's 100% true. We already know that, especially in the NFL. You know, every game matters, very crucial, especially if you're like in the AFC East, you know, or just now. I mean, the games are just competitive anyway. That's just the way it is. It's any given Sunday. But Lamar Jackson's laying it all on the line. And I don't hear enough people talking about that. I don't hear enough people trying to preach that, especially to our youth, and understanding what it really means to be a team guy and to have sportsmanship. And here you have a guy who's already been an MVP. No, he hasn't been to Super Bowl, but you know what? Give him some time. Give him some time. And he doesn't even have all the weapons that all these other elite quarterbacks have. Keep that in mind. Just had to let him know. I'm a Lamar Jackson fan just based off of that. I mean, we're not even talking about his play. His play speaks for himself. If you're not a fan of his work, then I guess you're just not a football fan. I don't even know what to tell you. But the stance that he's making off the court and what he's willing to do and how he's going about his business, you can say what you want with it. You can agree or disagree, but you should respect it. And you should understand that maybe our youth can use a little bit of that than everything else that we have going on. I'm just saying. Green Bay Packers, man. Yeah. Did I do that on purpose? By probably mentioning a selfless guy and probably maybe one of the selfish guys in the NFL and Aaron Rodgers. Don't get me wrong, incredible talent. I definitely respect it. I've always said that he's the most talented quarterback, you know, ever. He's definitely up there. He's definitely top three, top five. I don't know what your criteria is, but he's up there, you know. But with that being said, god-awful game. Let's just call it what it is. It was terrible. I mean, not even just on offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball. How many times did Justin Jefferson get left open? Like, you guys have made him, like, if they were doing a breakdown of the top receivers just based off week one, Justin Jefferson is, like, top five. What? Top? You know what I mean? Like, why? Why was he wide open on so many coverages? I don't understand that. It's one thing, you know, they want to talk about. I mean, don't get me wrong. The offense needs work. And Aaron Rodgers already alluded to the problems. He's already talked to the young receivers and how he's been frustrated with them and the drops and not knowing their routes and, you know, rookie stuff, you know. But I'm sorry. After the game, because we already knew there was going to be a problem, so I guess he kind of already, you know, because athletes nowadays, they have a platform, right? So they're making their voices known. So I felt like he was kind of already setting us up, you know, in a way of like, we're going to be terrible and you're just going to have to bear with us. Like, you know what I mean? Because if they're already in training camp, he's already very publicly, you know, calling out his teammates. He's already letting you know, don't expect much. Please don't, because you're going to be let down just like I have. But I did think it was kind of funny, though, because now he's kind of calling for everybody to kind of calm down. They're young. They're going to get it. We're just going through growing pains, so to speak, you know, paraphrasing, obviously. But one thing you need to understand, when you call out your teammates publicly, you just shine the light on things that maybe would have gotten noticed. But, I mean, you're Aaron Rodgers. You talk, people listen, we create content. So understand the power in your words, right? I'm sure you used it to your advantage to also set up, like I said already, that we're going to be awful. So don't expect us to win the Super Bowl this year, pretty much. But understand what comes with that. What comes with that is, oh, we're going to be on these guys. You know, like, get rid of them. You know, we should have never traded Devontae Adams. Like, Aaron Rodgers should have been more, you know, decisive on how many more years he was going to play in the NFL. So that way we wouldn't have this problem. Maybe Devontae Adams would have never felt the reason to leave. You know, because they were going to give him his money anyway. You know, Devontae Adams was just, he wanted something more secure. He didn't want Jordan Love throwing him the football. That in the future. That's pretty much what he was trying to say. It wasn't happening. And then he had his boy over there, Derek Carr. He used to play at Fresno State. Yeah, it's kind of hard. You know what I mean? And uncertainty. Yeah, no, I'll take my chances over there with the Raiders. And that's a whole nother story. So with that being said, you know, you threw your young guys to the fire and yeah, they're going to get burned a bit. The media is going to crush them. And more importantly, the media is probably going to move on from that because there's a lot of other hot topics and other things to talk about, especially with the Cowboys and everything like that. Because you know how the media likes to talk about them boys, right? But for real, I mean, you put them in that situation, so now you kind of got to just deal with it. We know what it is, right? But the fans, to play in that building, you got to understand, like, their expectations are super high. And that's only because you set the bar that high. So now the expectations are different. They're not trying to manage their expectations. They're trying to say, we want to win, especially since we got you. Because we don't know how long we have Aaron Rodgers for. Let's face it, we don't know. You don't even know. So, calling for patience. Okay. Whether they're going to get it or not, I guess we're going to see after week two. You know, but am I going to sit here and say that we should, you know, go crazy on them? No, because I remember what happened last year when I think they lost like one game or... Yeah, and people just, like, pretty much just wrote them off like they weren't even going to make the playoffs. And at the end of the day, I do have faith in Aaron Rodgers and that squad, and they're going to get it together. It is growing pains. You know, preseason, it really doesn't count. We may get excited and kind of, you know, prematurely say, oh, the NFL's back, but in actuality, it isn't. It isn't. The guys that you were watching playing, they might be working at the supermarket right now, no disrespect. You know what I mean? Like, meaning, it's like what? Like, 90 guys, and then they have to shorten it down to 53? It's just not reasonable to think that what you see in the preseason is exactly what you're going to see in the regular season. Because half the guys who play, when it matters, you won't be seeing in the preseason. It's just the reality of it. But with that being said, like I said, we could relax. Just take a deep breath. They're going to figure it out. I just thought that was a little funny how Aaron Rodgers was getting on them real hard and then was like, guys, let's be patient. I guess we'll be as patient as you are, Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's really nothing else much to say. But Dak, that was tough, right? It was tough. But the media is pretty funny, right? Not that I don't consider myself media, but I just mean, like, you know, on a lot larger scale, you know, respectfully, right? Everybody's talking about Dak's thumb. That shouldn't be the story. They were not playing good before he hurt his thumb. They were not good. CeeDee Lamb wasn't playing good. I think he was dropping some passes. And some were saying, like, you know, the route wasn't sharp enough, wasn't there. And, yeah, Buccaneers are no joke. Come on. You playing with a Tom Brady? You playing with a GOAT? Your level of play is automatically going to be exponentially better just because you know what you're playing for every time. You're playing for a championship. It's like the LeBrons, you know, the Kobe's. Like, when you're playing with them, you know what you're playing for. This is not just a regular game. It's more than that. Not to mention, if you're paying attention to anything that's been going on, I'm sure if you're a Buccaneer, you understand what's going on in Tom's life, not his football life, his personal life. Not saying that Tom is giving up, you know what I mean, like, a lot in his personal life just to be here, but kind of is, potentially. So you best to make sure that you playing 100%. Tom is he's risking it all to be here. Real talk, he is risking it all to be here with you. So the least you can do is give it your all, right? I mean, that's the least you can do. You go home, your family situation is very different from his. I think that's enough said. The Cowboys definitely have more problems than Dak's thumb. I mean, but I get it. That's the storyline right now. His thumb, we thought he was going to end up on IR because we're thinking the reports were out initially 6 to 8 weeks. He's not going to be available. Okay, so the Cowboy season is done, right? I personally wouldn't say that because it really depends on what the other teams are doing, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Commanders in their respectful divisions, because you already know what a crazy, you know, division that is. You know, when it comes to, it almost seems like they're fighting each other to see who's going to lose the most games, you know, sometimes, but it could be different this year, but I guess we'll see what's up. But yeah, people were pretty much writing him off, you know. But then you hear today, because Jerry Jones came out, he's on Audacity. I think it's like 103.5, correct me if I'm wrong, radio station. Pretty much letting everybody know, like, hey, listen, because he already had the surgery. And I guess they're going by the doctors and rehab and, you know, whomever they need to speak to and orthopedists and whatever, about the timetable in which he can come back. And they're talking about like 4 weeks now. So they're talking about he can be back in October like nothing ever happened, off a broken thumb. And it's his right broken thumb, so that's his throwing arm. And I'm like, wow, Dak. Like, I really hope that you aren't just worried about your position so much so that you're potentially harming yourself in the long run. Now, we weren't there. We don't know what the doctor said, but this is just, I'm just saying, surgery, hand. I've had surgery on my hand. God knows it had nothing to do with football. But the point is, that is such a short window of time for recovery. I can tell you that. And it wasn't even my thumb. And if you know, the thumb is extremely important. Man, it's the only finger on that side of the ball, being able to hold it, grip it, you know, taking sacks and coming down on it. And wow, man, like, I don't know. Wow. That's something. But, you know, Dak, he's incredibly resilient. He was talking very optimistic going into it. He didn't even seem that disappointed. Not saying that he wasn't, but he was just kind of just very optimistic. I guess all the things that he's been through in his life and the things that he's been, you know, open about, you know, with his brother dying and going through depression and understanding his injury and everything that he's had to deal with. But at the end of the day, I'm sure he does have a lot of faith in the Cowboys organization, how they were classy enough to still give him the money even after that injury. I can see how he would be optimistic, but man, that week one, like, that's tough. But I guess you'd rather it now than later on, if you had to have it that way. But, you know, everybody just comes in week one just so optimistic. You know, it's like everybody's on the same page, you know, so to speak. But yeah, that was tough. But Cowboys fans, but yeah, you should know, and I'm pretty sure if you were honest with yourselves, you guys were not looking good prior to that injury anyway. And as for Micah Parsons, like, dude's a stud, dude's a beast, definitely one of the best at his position right now. If he keeps playing like this and longevity and, you know, definitely future Hall of Famer, you know, but I'll let him play and see what's up. But that whole Leonard Fournette hit. One thing I do have to say about that is I thought it was really funny how a lot of people were talking like Leonard Fournette isn't that dude. Like, they were worried about him coming into the off, like, coming into training camp, not, you know, not in shape. And listen, Leonard Fournette is not a rookie. He's not a guy that doesn't understand his body. He's not a guy that doesn't understand, you know, the position that he's in. Remember, this is the same guy that was, like, about to leave the Buccaneers because he wasn't sure about Tom. Because remember, he said he retired, right? And then he unretired. But he went and got, you know, Leonard Fournette, you know, phone call. Simple, just like, listen, get your buck back down here. Like, I'm coming back. Like, you know what I mean? So Leonard Fournette knows what it is, and for people to question that, it's just crazy. You saw how he was balling out there. Hopefully he answered all your questions. And then that shot he took to Michael Parsons that everybody's talking about and everybody's just going crazy about, and some people are talking about whether it's legal, illegal. And I'm not going to pretend to say, like, I know every rule of football, because there's so many, and I feel like as long as you keep watching the game and you're really paying attention to every single game and have multiple TVs on and different things of that nature and have red zone, got to get red zone, then you're going to see a lot of plays that you were like, oh, I didn't know that. Like, I've been watching the game for years, and it's like, but anyway, that was perfectly legal. I think Micah Parsons knew that. I think he was just calling for it to not be legal because it was kind of like a blindsided hit. But at the same time, it's like, you got to understand, Tom Brady is 45 years of age, giving up everything to be there right now. And you're going to have guys doing whatever they can to protect Tom Brady. I think that that's perfectly reasonable. You know, Michael Parsons, he can take that how it is. And I guess you can't blame him in that situation unless you've been hit like that, blindsided before. But one thing I will say is, you know what, young man, just take that, use that as fire and bring that into week two, because you're going to need it. You guys are not going to have your star quarterback for, you know, 4 weeks. And the defense is going to have to play lights out in order, you know, just to be in contention. But yeah, like, Leonard Fournette looked really good. He didn't look like he had any weight trouble. It looked like he got himself where he needed to be, just like I thought he was when that report came out. Ridiculous, right? Sometimes you just gotta laugh. But at the same time, it's like, he did even open up, because I heard him on an interview, and it was talking about how he always had, you know, weight issues. And, you know, even I definitely suffered with that, you know. And it's like, that's challenging. Like, people don't understand sometimes, like, you're fighting genetics. Like, if you're the type of body type where, you know, it doesn't really matter what you eat, and it's just, and you're good, and you don't have to work out, good for you, but that is not the case for everybody. You can work out like crazy and try to watch what you eat, and it's still a battle. Like, so shout outs to him, or shout outs to everybody who knows what the weight struggle is, but you still don't give up and you still just keep keeping on. But let's talk about this perfect storm, right? So the perfect storm, I call it that because I hear a lot of people picking sides. Listen, all you Jets fans, even Giants fans, even non-Geno Smith fans, trust me, I threw my jab or two at him as well, and rightfully so. When you playing like the way he was playing, it comes with the territory. But give my man his flowers. He had a great week one. He came in there. He did his thing. You can say what the coach did on Denver side. I mean, the defense couldn't stop Geno Smith. Like, what are we even talking about? The guy was like, at one point, he was like 14 for 14. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I was even joking on Facebook, like, yo, you guys are making Geno Smith look elite. Not good. Not great. Elite. Like, he was like upper echelon type. Like, wasn't phased by anything. Just, it was, I have to tell you, it was unreal. Now, don't get me wrong. The 12th man definitely played a major role all night long, but as they should, right? You have a guy in Russell Wilson who told y'all deuces, right, in the middle of your contract. It wasn't during free agency. He left y'all. He said, I'm not doing this no more. I want some freedom in the offense to do me. Okay. You know, and it's been a long time. What, 10 years? Like, okay. I mean, I respect it. I was good with his decision. I didn't have a problem with it. But that's also the reason why I get so, like, nervous for guys when they just come back too quick. Like, that's why I'm talking about Dak when he coming back too quick. And I felt like Russell Wilson came back too quick. And then he started playing bad games. And then it's like you get labeled so quickly. Like, oh, this is what you are. Like, no, I'm injured. Like, relax. I'm injured, but I'm going to be here with my guy. So I'm here doing the best that I can. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, he didn't want to be there. He wanted to have more autonomy on the offense. Rightfully so. I think he's earned that, you know. MVP, you know, Super Bowl. What? 5 Pro Bowl. You know, he's up there. You can call him what you want. I feel like people still don't know how to place him because some people put him in, you know, that category of top 5 quarterbacks, and other people are kind of like, he's kind of just average as a game manager, is that, you know, title that he used to wear, you know, years ago. But anyway, he's with Denver now, right? That's the decision that he made. He wanted to be with a brand new head coach. I always get a little wary about, you know, veteran, you know, guys, especially of Russell Wilson's caliber, wanting to play with a brand new, you know, head coach. And not saying that he doesn't deserve it, because obviously, you know, he's worked his way up. You know, he was an offensive coordinator. So, you know, he went through the process. He wasn't like some that just kind of like went straight from the booth to the, you know, to the sidelines. You know, he knows football, right? Cool. But at the same time, you Russell Wilson. What I mean by that is, was it bad coaching? Yes. It's like you don't want to just kind of just say it arbitrarily, because so many people just throw things out there and they kind of just get caught up in the moment and they just say it. Now, I'm going to say it was bad coaching because there was a lot of adjustments that needed to be made and they were not made fast enough, or they just weren't made at all. It really depends on what phase of the game that you were talking about. But let's just go late to the game. Let's just go late in the game where Russell Wilson is supposed to be the best. And by supposed to be, I mean, like, no, like, actually he is. In the last two minutes of games, this is when he turns on. This is where his lights shine the brightest. This is where he just rises above all and prove why he feels like he's elite and why he should be held to that standard. It's just that simple. Now, the coach would rather kick a 64-yard, 64, 64-yard field goal instead of putting the ball back in Russell Wilson's hands that you're paying all this money to. Let's not even... All right, fine. Money aside. It's like over 200 and something. 250. You're paying him a lot of money. A lot of money. A lot of money. Why? Because he's that guy. You're paying him based off of what he did in Seattle. Right? Because you see the potential. But how are you ever going to know what the potential is if you don't let him work in those moments? Now, some would say it's probably Russell's fault for taking that timeout and instead of huddling up with his guys and letting him know, like, hey, I'm running the show. This is, you know what I mean? This is my offense. You know, I'm that dude. Let me show y'all how it's done. We can get 5 yards. Okay. He goes back to the sidelines. The coach decides to trust the kicker. 64 yards. Like, you're not even talking about something that's routine. And for those of you who are, I know there's a lot of people who are not really into football like that, that like to watch the podcast, and I appreciate you 100%. You have no idea. 64 yards is damn near impossible. I'm just going to put it to you like that. It's ridiculous. It's insane-uless to even think that that was a smart decision over giving the ball to a guy that you're paying that much money to be that guy. It's insane. But he did it. He missed it because the odds were that he was going to miss it. And that's it. You're looking at Pete Carroll celebrate. You know, he was trusting Geno Smith to make a lot of throws. Timely throws. Tight window throws. Throwing guys open type throws. Geno Smith was on fire. I'm sorry. Like, you can say whatever you want about Denver. But like I said, a lot of things had to happen. Geno Smith had to play the way he played in order for them to win. And Denver definitely had to play the way they did in order to lose. It is the perfect storm. Because who would have known? Yeah, if you just look at the numbers, and this is why I'm not a numbers person per se. Because if you look at the numbers, you're thinking Russell Wilson had a pretty decent game. You know, yardage-wise, you're thinking, okay. But at the same time, it's like, even when you were watching the game in the beginning, he wasn't even throwing to his receivers, right? So it's like, I'm sorry, that just sounds more like play calling to me. So yeah, play calling's an issue. We can definitely talk about the coach's judgment, which also can correlate to play calling, right? Even though some of you might say, you know, correlation doesn't equal causation. Yeah, shout out to all the statistics classes, you know, that I've been taking. But seriously, though, I mean, just looking back at that game and understanding what was at stake, understanding the boos and the constant boos throughout the whole game. And to me, that's just a sign of respect. It's just a sign of, you know, we still wanted you type thing, but you left us anyway. You know, those are fans just being fans. I mean, there's no other way around that. Russell Wilson came out with the shiny suit on, you know what I mean? Came out there. He thought it was going to be a totally different game. You know, he's like, I'm going up against Geno Smith. This is going to be cake. I'm sure a lot of you guys playing fantasy thought the same thing. I'm not even going to front. I picked Denver to win that game. If you look at my list, I mean, I went for like, I think I was 11 for 14. How many games were on? Yeah, like my picks, like, they weren't that bad. Like, my picks were actually pretty solid. There was a couple of games where I kind of, you know, squeaked through. I didn't know the Bears were going to do that to the Niners. I mean, that's a whole nother story over there. But at the end of the day, it was like Geno Smith definitely gave you a reason. Listen, don't do that. Because I know some of y'all rolling your eyes, making faces. Don't do that. Geno Smith definitely gave y'all a reason. Let me finish my sentence. To see what he's got this season as the starting quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. after the Russell Wilson era. You got to give it that much. You got to give it that much. Otherwise, you hating. You got to keep an open mind. It's a new season every year. You should not expect the same thing every year. If you do, then that's just a little bias in your heart. You need to get that out. Because right now, there's a lot of teams that you can say right now that are gonna that look like they could be on the cusp of like turning the corner. Look what the Bears did. Look at Justin Fields, man. To see them slide across that rainy, wet turf field, it was great. Because at the same time, it was like, that was such a mess for them to play in that rain, right? There were so many mistakes being made on both sides, but it was a fight. I mean, you're talking about adversity. Man, they were tested in ways. I mean, Lance. I know a lot of people are probably like, bring Jimmy G back. Oh, fans are so fickle, huh? You got to give him a chance. That shouldn't define them. That shouldn't define the 49ers and what they're going to look like this season. It really shouldn't. People should just relax. That was just a really hard-fought game, and the Bears got the best of them. The Bears were able to hold out. They didn't let the rain, you know, faze them. You know, they still kept their heads up. They still kept believing. They just kept chipping away because it wasn't all good. Like, if you were watching the game, they had to keep chipping away. They had to keep grinding, so to speak. It's not easy. It's not easy to sit there and keep grinding and not really know how things are going to turn out and just keep hoping that, you know, you can get the better of it. That's all you can really hope for. And they did, man. And it was great. Shout out to Justin Fields. I like that. Young QB grinding it out, getting it done. That's all you can really hope for. In Kansas City, man, it's so nice to see Patrick Mahomes doing Patrick Mahomes Showtime things, mainly because there was so much doubt. Don't get me wrong. Tyreek Hill, I mean, that is a once-in-a-generation talent. Like, his speed, he's called the cheetah for a reason. He is that dude. He's not a dude that you want to sit up there and, you know, and act like, oh, that's not a loss. It's a huge loss. It is. But Andy Reid, man, Eric Bieniemy, those dudes, like, genius. And when you have a versatile quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, it makes it that much more beautiful, right? Because they have a team, meaning they're not just depending on one or two guys. Patrick Mahomes targeted like 9 different guys. Travis Kelce was one of the, you know, best tight ends right now. Like, being Travis Kelce, being old reliable, 87, you know what I mean? Like, that Gronk type of dude, big dude, reliable. It was just, what are you going to say? What do you have, like 5 touchdown passes? Who's surprised? Who's surprised? It's not me. I knew the Kansas City Chiefs would come out with that extra little something, because the way they lost, also the way that everybody thought that they were going to play, since they didn't have one wide receiver. Now, he may be the wide receiver, but he's one wide receiver, right? You got to look at the totality, you know, of the situation and what they were able to do. And that was nowhere even near a contest. And that's why I picked them. So it was great. The Saints, a lot of people were down on the Saints. They wasn't really sure what they were going to be able to do, but they pulled it out. I told you, I'm like, listen, they just need time. They just need time. Michael Thomas, so glad he played the way he did, because I'm so tired of people disrespecting him, not understanding how injuries can set you back for longer than you anticipate. But at the same time, he rose to the occasion. He lets you know that he's still that dude, and he's only going to get better, guys. He's just warming up. That was just week 1. Stay tuned. And also, I wanted to talk a little bit about the Raiders and Derek Carr and the high expectations, and what did they really see coming out. That's so tough. That's so tough because honestly, it can go either way, but everybody's going to overreact to the Denver game and then they're going to assume that Denver's not going to get anywhere. I'm just saying, just the pressures of that moment, and you're going to hope that Hackett does a lot better coaching than he did, because it was definitely coaching that played a lot into that. And what I will say is, it in this situation between the Raiders and the Denver Broncos, they're either going to be 3 or 4. I really think they're going to be fighting for that position in that respect, mainly because, and what, before I even go there, what's going to define that is definitely going to be the relationship between Russell Wilson and Hackett. Because as a competitor, like a Russell Wilson, and I know he is, and he's so good, so PC. Some people may say square, whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to say that. It's a bit disrespectful in my book. But what I will say is, he knows how to talk to the media. He knows how to smile, put the charm on, tell you whatever you want to say. I would love to see Russell Wilson behind the scenes for one of two reasons. Because I really need to know if he's that dude that can really lead in a sense of even kind of getting in the coach's face and letting him know, like, listen, we're all held accountable out there on that field. Especially Russell Wilson, because he's the big name. So he's going to be the ones we're talking about. So he's going to be held accountable regardless. But the coach, I want to know if Russell Wilson had some words for that coach in that moment, that you would really trust a kicker 64 yards over me. I just need to know whether he has that type of leadership quality. Now, I'm not trying to say that he should beat up the coach. Like, relax. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm trying to say whether he actually has it in him to say, because a coach can be wrong. I'm sure most of you can agree. Like, and a coach can actually admit when he's wrong. Right? I mean, because if you don't, then I don't understand how you're going to be able to lead and expect other guys to hold themselves accountable for things when they are wrong. So I just need to know that. I just need to know that, because that right there is going to depend on how far they're able to move up. Now, I don't see them moving any higher than that. If you do, let me know. We can definitely have a conversation about that. Maybe you see something a little different from me or whatever. You're coming from a different perspective and we can talk about that. But I just don't see it at this point in time. I don't see it, but it would be interesting, because I would love to know that Russell Wilson can actually let this guy know, like, listen, I don't know who told you, but I'm that dude. You don't ever take me out of a situation like that. Like, I'll say whatever I need to say in front of the media to not cause any distractions, to not make anybody think that we're not together, we're not united, we're not going to let anybody break us up. But in here, y'all need to know what's up. And I just need to know if he said it. I appreciate you guys for listening. Appreciate you guys for watching. Please don't forget to like, listen, and subscribe. And always remember one thing. Say it with me. Losses equals life lessons. I'm out of here. Peace. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's get our minds ready. We elevate intellects right here on the K-Show. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back, come triple. Back, triple. That's just that ripple effect. That's just that ripple, ripple. That's just that ripple effect. What you do, come back, come triple. Back, triple. This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.